Good morning, everyone. Just so you all know, both Symphony and Journey Community Church in North Carolina are watching this message. So special shout out to the Journey family. In case you don't know me, I'm Pastor Doug, one of the pastors here at Symphony. You hopefully all know this, but today is Mother's Day, and I have an important stat that I want to share with all of you. I actually shared this stat a few years ago on another instance when I preached on Mother's Day, but I want to share again. Americans spend about $24 billion on Mother's Day gifts and only about $16 billion on Father's Day gifts. Now, that's quite a big difference, but let's think about it. Mother's Day comes first, right? And then next month in June, it's Father's Day. Father's Day is almost like an afterthought. Like, oh, wait, I guess we should do something for our fathers, too. For mom, we get flowers, cards, chocolates, photos, you know, special things. For dad, I guess I'll get him like a $4 tie from Target. But I'm not bitter, don't worry, I promise. Because really, mothers need to be celebrated and honored. Mothers deserve a lot of respect and appreciation, especially, you know, in a changing world with many demands. Being a mother is oftentimes difficult and draining. What this means is, call your mom today if you haven't already. And to all the mothers joining us for service, happy Mother's Day. I'm so happy that we can be worshiping together on this day. Right now, actually, though, let's say hello to those we are worshiping with, whether in a micro church or virtually or watching on Zoom. And if you are with any mothers or you see any mothers on Zoom, make sure to wish them a happy Mother's Day. So let's do that together now. A week or so ago, one morning, my daughter Audrey was acting up. She gets in these moods sometimes, and she can become difficult, especially some mornings when we are trying to get her ready for school. She likes to sleep, and sometimes she doesn't really want to wake up. And I was getting irritated that morning, and I know my wife Cindy was too. Audrey was arguing and fighting against everything. I basically was losing all my patience. But Cindy, I know she was probably losing her patience too. But I remember this vividly. I walked into the playroom where Audrey had stormed off to, and there was Cindy, kneeling on the ground, holding Audrey in her arms. And that's what Audrey really needed in that moment. She was being difficult, but she needed her mom. And seeing that, especially since at that time I was preparing for this message, it brought me to the realization that motherhood is a powerful force. Something so beautiful and perhaps even divine. As I reflected on this powerful force that is motherhood, one word came to mind, devotion. Cindy was showing Audrey in that moment that she was devoted to her. Her love was not wavering. That's the heart of a mother, a full, unstoppable devotion to the child. And this makes sense because there is a really special bond that is formed between a mother and a child even before birth. I mean, think about it. The mother carries the child for 9 months. And during those 9 months, the mother is basically continually reminded of this human being inside of them. I haven't born a child myself, but I hear it's difficult. But yeah, even before the child is born, this bond of love and devotion is formed. For me, as a dad, I realized it takes longer for that bond to form. I remember when my son Benji was born, and I was struggling to get him to sleep one night during those rough newborn days. And I could feel this anger rising in my heart. It was anger towards Benji, this little baby. You know, anger towards a helpless little infant. Yet, mothers are fully devoted, even through the cries and the pain of infancy, because they had been carrying that child already for 9 months prior, and that bond of love and devotion had already long formed. To me, this infant was still a stranger. But to a mother, that infant is no stranger. They've already known that baby very intimately for months and months before. But why do I talk about this? Well, I believe this motherly love, this devotion, is a reflection of God's love for us. And so I want to read a passage this morning highlighting the devotion of a mother. And from this, I hope we can learn more about who our God is. We are reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 8 through 21. Again, Genesis, chapter 21, verses 8 through 21. Let's read. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy, and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, that we can learn more about you as we reflect on this story of Hagar. And thank you that we can learn more about you as we reflect on the love of mothers, Lord. For ultimately we know that this love, God, this devotion, it comes from you, God. So Lord, help us to learn more about who you are this morning, God. We thank you. We praise all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look very closely at this story, at the story of Hagar. To put it bluntly, the journey of motherhood completely altered her life. But it also brought her to a place of knowing the devoted love of God. Her story at times seems like a tragedy, but there is a redemption. Hagar, I think, often gets overlooked when we think about the story of the Bible because she didn't contribute to Jesus' line. But I think there is still a lot we can learn from her. And more importantly, a lot we can learn about God from looking at her journey of motherhood. In a nutshell, Hagar was a devoted mother. Her devotion toward her son, Ishmael, led her into the wilderness and into suffering. But that was far from the extent of the suffering she faced. Let's rewind a bit and go actually a little farther back in the book of Genesis and look at the events that led up to what we just read. So firstly, who is Hagar? Well, we learn in Genesis chapter 16 that she is an Egyptian slave to Sarah, who is Abraham's wife. Abraham and Sarah likely had a number of servants, and Hagar was one of them. You know, remember, Abraham was the one that God called to leave his homeland to journey to the promised land because God was going to make a great nation out of Abraham, a nation that would eventually become the nation of Israel, you know, God's chosen people. And so they had left their homeland, him and his wife Sarah, and they had likely had a large company of servants and others who were with them. And one of those servants was Hagar. However, little did Hagar know about how motherhood would soon radically change her life. When it was told to her that her mistress, Sarah, was unable to conceive, and that Sarah had suggested Hagar to be a surrogate mother in her place, I'm sure Hagar experienced this wide range of emotions. Perhaps there was fear, you know, fear over whether she could produce an heir for Abraham and what the consequences would be if she couldn't. Maybe there was excitement at the opportunity to maybe get more honor and status. Perhaps if she did bear a son who would become Abraham's heir, it would guarantee her own prosperity. Perhaps there was disgust at being used like that. She likely did not get much say in the matter. She was basically just a pawn in the schemes of Abraham and Sarah. And maybe there was hope, the hope of becoming a mother. Maybe motherhood was something she always longed for, and now was her chance. So here is Hagar, hearing about this, hearing about these schemes, and likely feeling a wide range of emotions, but all the while being forced into this plan that was crafted by Abraham and Sarah. And the plan works. We do not know how long it took, but Hagar eventually conceives a child with Abraham. I can imagine Hagar's excitement starting to take off. You know, she conceived the child. This young servant girl, this young Egyptian servant girl, would be honored. She probably started to imagine the parties that would be thrown to celebrate this great news. A child had been conceived for the master, for Abraham. And I bet Abraham himself was thrilled. He finally had a child after all this time. Perhaps, though, this made him look with a little more fondness towards Hagar. She was the one who conceived for him a potential heir. And Hagar, maybe she liked this extra attention. But you know who didn't like the attention Hagar was getting? Sarah. She gets mad. She sees that Hagar is enjoying this newfound honor and favor, and she likely felt a little jealous. Sarah was likely thinking, hey, this was my plan, my idea. Hagar, you only have this opportunity because of me. But now, Sarah regrets the plan. She's the mistress, after all, and Hagar, she has no power. Sarah starts to be extra harsh with Hagar. We don't know what that entailed, but maybe it was more work and more demands. Maybe there were threats. But what we do know is that Hagar flees. She flees because of the harshness with which Sarah was treating her. But for a pregnant servant girl with no money, fleeing into the wilderness was basically a death sentence. Sarah had to have been treating Hagar so badly that Hagar decided she'd risk death in the wilderness over the treatment she was getting from Sarah. What a roller coaster for poor Hagar. This journey of motherhood took just a very sharp turn for the worse. Being elevated, being excited about just the hope of having this child, but then losing it all so quickly. And Abraham, he did nothing to help her. He let Sarah run her out of the camp. This could have been the end of the story for Hagar, but our God was watching over her the entire time. Even though she was an Egyptian, you know, supposedly an outsider to the people of Israel, not actually related to Abraham, yet still God cared for her. And this is what we read in Genesis 16. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. God found her there. He saw her there. And more than just finding her, the angel of the Lord makes this promise to her. I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. This promise that God made with Hagar is very similar to the one God made with Abraham. God was guaranteeing Hagar that she would survive, and more than that, that this child in her womb would also survive and would grow up and would multiply into generations and generations, a multitude. A lowly servant girl being promised just generations and generations. Obviously, this overwhelmed Hagar. She is told by the angel to name the child Ishmael, which means God hears. And then she proceeds to praise God for being a God who sees her. This is what Hagar says: "Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." I love that. "Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." Though she was rejected by Abraham and Sarah, God saw her and cared for her. He was devoted to her. That's the devotion of our God. He saw Hagar. He sees us. He sees you. Especially when you feel most alone, when it feels like all the walls are crashing down, especially when you think things are about to go well, that's when we can often be most vulnerable to that hopelessness, when our expectations don't pan out the way we had hoped and expected. Hagar, she had all this expectation about this child, but then everything literally just crumbled. Her whole life was falling apart. Yet through it all, God saw her. And for mothers out there, sometimes it can feel overwhelming, and you feel alone, wondering how to do this. Know that God sees you. Just as you may be overwhelmed as you try to be devoted to your child, know that God is wholly, fully devoted to you. He sees you. And for those who long to be mothers, know that God hears the cries of your heart. He's a God who sees you. And the pain you may be feeling, he is with you and will always care for you. It can feel like the wilderness, where we feel lost and confused. Know that even there, in the wilderness, God meets with you. In fact, in the wilderness is often where we meet God in the most powerful way. That's where we can find that God has been with us all along and cares for us, where we know that God weeps alongside of us and grieves with us. We don't always know why things have happened the way they did, and we don't know what will happen in the future, but the one thing we can guarantee is that God will always hear you, will always see you. He's a God who does not leave you alone in the wilderness. He's a God who grieves and weeps alongside of you. And that's the God Hagar experienced in the wilderness. God saw Hagar and cared for her. He made a promise to her, and this gave her confidence to return back home. And so off she goes, back to Abraham, back to Sarah. Unfortunately, this is not the end of the story. The book of Genesis often reads like a drama, and this story certainly fits that bill. So Hagar returns home, and she gives birth to her son, Ishmael. And perhaps there was still tension, we don't know. But what we do know is that Sarah had not let go of her bitterness towards Hagar. And her son, eventually Sarah does have a son of her own, Isaac, a son who is also the son of her husband, Abraham. So yep, this is ripe for a lot of drama. And so yeah, just to bring us up to speed, God eventually did give Abraham a son through Sarah. And this child would be Abraham's true heir. On the day that this child was weaned, Isaac, Abraham threw a party to celebrate. Poor Hagar, though, and Ishmael, they probably saw this honor being bestowed upon Isaac and imagined what could have been for them. All that honor Hagar had hoped for, it was now being given to this new child, Sarah's child. And for some reason, during this party, Ishmael starts laughing. We don't know why. Maybe he was having a grand old time, or maybe it was a coping mechanism for disappointment, or maybe it was out of mockery for whatever reason. But this laughing irritates Sarah. She gets mad. She seems to get set off pretty easily. And now here we go again. Sarah goes to Abraham and tells him she wants Hagar gone. She wants Ishmael gone. She doesn't want her son Isaac to have any competition. And so again, Abraham is in this tough spot. But this time, God speaks to Abraham and comforts him. Basically, God tells Abraham what he had already told Hagar, that Ishmael would be the beginning of many generations. He would become a great nation. And so this likely comforted Abraham, and so he gives some supplies to Hagar and Ishmael and sends them off. Yet still, just as last time, you know, being sent into the wilderness without much provisions, I mean, they did have a little bit, but probably not enough. This was very dangerous. And so here we are again. Hagar, back in the wilderness, and now with her son. And things quickly get dire. They run out of water, and death seems to be on their doorstep. This poor mother and her young son are struggling. Hagar, realizing that her son would not last much longer, sets him down under a bush and starts to walk away. Here's where we feel the sadness. This is what Hagar says. Let me not look on the death of the child. Let me not look on the death of the child. Such pain in those words, the pain of a mother who just does not know what to do. Hagar has lost hope. This mother, a mother so devoted to her son, even through hardship after hardship, a mother who fled to the wilderness for her son, has run out of options. And now she was so full of grief that she can't even look at her dying son. She needs to walk away. Her life had already crumbled once before, but she was redeemed, only though for it to crumble once more. Her journey of motherhood had returned her back to the pit. And what's worse, she is about to lose her precious son, a son she was completely devoted to. If only, though, she remembered what she learned about God that first time. He's a God who sees her and hears her. I think that can be so true for us. God brings us out of a pit, out of the wilderness, and we celebrate, right? We praise God. We love God. We tell of how good and faithful he is. But then later, we find ourselves back in that pit again, and we are back in the wilderness, and it's like we've forgotten everything. And bitterness starts to settle in, and we shake our fists at God, being like, "Where are you?" As if we never experienced his faithfulness before. Has that ever happened to you? Where you forget the faithfulness and devotion of our God, even though you've experienced it before? Well, here is Hagar, devoted to her son, but without any recourse, and now full of grief, walking away from her dying son, weeping. But what do we read next? God heard the voice of the boy. Our God, the God of the wilderness, is the same God no matter how many times we find ourselves back out there, back out in the wilderness. He doesn't change, and he's just as devoted to Hagar and Ishmael as he was before. His love and devotion have not changed. A mother who was wholly devoted to her son once again experienced the true devoted love of our God. God tells Hagar to not fear, and to lift up her son and hold him closely. And God then leads Hagar to a well of water for her and Ishmael to drink. They were saved. God was faithful. His promise to her did not fail. His devotion to her never wavered. So why am I sharing this on Mother's Day? Well, Hagar was a mother who exhibited that devoted motherly love. She likely would have done anything for her son. You know, motherhood, it led her into the wilderness multiple times. She did not want to let go. And when she did hit that wall where she could not do anything, all she could do was grieve. She had pain in her heart. And we celebrate mothers because of this devotion to the children. We celebrate mothers because of this love and care. Mothers go into the wilderness for their children. But what we learn is that this love and care is most evidently seen in God, a God who we know most intimately in the wilderness, a God devoted to us even when we just feel like everything is crumbling around us. Throughout Hagar's story, God saw and heard her, and I think that is so true of motherly love. People often speak of a motherly instinct, an innate sense of care for their children, and particularly an innate sense of danger. And when they sense that danger, they quickly respond to their children. They see them and care for them, just as God quickly responded to Hagar. He saw her and cared for her. And not just Hagar, he heard the voice of Ishmael as Ishmael was dying. Sometimes we could think of God as this like authoritative figure in heaven, looking down on us, ready to punish us. But really, a more common picture of God that we read in the Bible is a God who is devoted to us, a God who grieves when he hears the pain and affliction we're going through, a God who sees us in our pain, and a God who meets us in the wilderness to care for us. The love of a mother is a reflection of this love and devotion that God has for us. Now, I want to acknowledge that some of you may have experienced pain from your mothers. Maybe there are scars that have developed from different points of trauma in your childhood. While we cannot just sweep that pain away under the rug, what we can do, though, is forgive. We do not know what pain our mothers may have experienced or still experienced over the hurt they may have caused. We do not know if maybe they were in the wilderness all along. But what we do know is that we can forgive. Perhaps for you, this Mother's Day is a day to work on forgiveness toward your mother. And I'm not saying it's easy, as if you can just like snap your fingers and forgive, but forgiveness can be a path to healing and path toward restoration of the relationship with our mothers. Before I close, I want to share one last story. There's a guy I went to high school with who I'm Facebook friends with. I don't really talk to him anymore, but I follow him on Facebook. I'm sure many of us do that sometimes. And I always enjoyed following him because, well, he has a really cute family. He has three little kids and, yeah, all adorable. Every post, I would love to see them and see what this family was up to, see what the kids were up to, because, yeah, his kids are so darn cute. But one day last year, I was reading a new post, and it was tragic. His youngest son had wandered off into a lake and drowned. He did not die, but he suffered much brain damage, and the outlook from the doctors was bleak. They didn't expect him to live much longer, and even if he did, they didn't expect him to have much of a life. When I saw that post, even though I haven't actually talked to the guy since high school, I couldn't help but weep. But I share this story because the boy's mother would not give up. Though doctors kept telling them, you know, to give up, she was devoted. She would not give up. She would not relent. She traveled just all around the country to see specialists and doctors just to see what could be done. She ran straight into the wilderness on behalf of her son. When I read her posts or watched her videos on Instagram, what I saw was a mother who is fully devoted to her son. She would go to the wilderness and back again for him. While I hope and pray the boy will recover, it certainly will be a long road ahead. There's been some progress, which is great, and it's exciting to see the things that are happening and the way that they are able to overcome a lot of obstacles. But what I do know is that this mother, no matter what happens, will not give up. That's a picture of who our God is. He'll go to the wilderness and back again for you. He looks at impossible situations and says to himself, I got this. That's what happened when he went to the cross. It was a seemingly impossible situation, you know, our separation from God. But God says, I got this. And he runs into wilderness for us. He went to the cross. He is devoted to you and will never, never give up on you. God did that for Hagar. He heard her cries and he saw her pain and cared for her. He has done that for countless numbers of people, and I know he will do it for you. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God so devoted to us, so faithful to us. I'm just reflecting on my own life, and so often, God, I can feel myself just being stressed and worried about so many different things, and it's amazing how, God, so many times you just remind me that you're actually there all along. Even when I feel like I need to control everything, you are there being faithful and devoted. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray this over all of us, Lord, that we would know that you, Lord, are fully devoted to us. You see us. You hear us. You are with us. Lord, if there are ways in which maybe we have forgotten that, or we have just sort of moved on and neglected this love that you have for us, God, help us to turn back to you and see that you, Lord, have been with us all along, Lord. Even when our eyes may be looking away, God, even when we may be running in the opposite direction, Lord, you follow us, Lord. You follow us into the wilderness, Lord. Can we pray together right now? Just look into your heart and check to see if there are ways in which maybe you have started to lose hope in God. Particularly if you've experienced his faithfulness before, but now are starting to forget. Take this time to remind yourself of who our God is. A God who is devoted to you, to all of us. And let's invite that love to once again fill our hearts and to give us hope, to give us confidence. So yeah, let's just remind our hearts again of who God is, of his devotion to you. Let's pray. Let's take some time actually to pray for our mothers, and also maybe other mothers that we know, mothers in our lives, whether it be friends or other family members that are mothers. And let's pray for them. Being a mother, as I said in the beginning of the message, is hard. It comes with a lot of demands and a lot of emotions. And let's pray that God would speak to, you know, the mothers in our lives and remind them of his devotion to them and his devotion to their children. So yeah, let's take some time now to pray for the mothers in our lives. Let's pray. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I once again thank you. Thank you that you saw the pain, saw the brokenness, Lord, in us. And you went, Lord, you went straight into the wilderness for us. You went to that cross. You bore our sins, our shame. You bore it all upon yourself and you died, Lord. You died for us so that we can be brought out of the wilderness, so we can be brought back into hope, so we can be brought into relationship with you. And so we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this devotion that you have towards us. And thank you, Lord, that we get to see a picture of that devotion in the mothers around us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for all the mothers in our lives, Lord God, and I just pray that this will be a day of just blessing for them, a day of celebration as we honor the mothers that we know, God. Lord, just thank you for your love, Lord, your love being the source of all love we experience in this world. So we bless you, God, and we just continue to invite us, Lord, to just continue to reflect on your love, Lord. May your love give us strength for this week, God. Even if we may find ourselves back in the pit, may we know you are going to jump in there right with us, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your devotion. We bless you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.